So, Christian living. This morning we're going to talk about parenting. So some of you guys are like, all right, I don't have any kids at home. Good news. You'll have grandkids someday, maybe, if you're fortunate enough. If you're a child, we should have you come sit in the front couple of rows here, and then I can be more direct, because I have something for you today, too. And you will love those parts of the sermon. Now, we're Christians. We live by the gospel. That's the thing that we are guided by, the value system of God. We're not under law. We're under grace, so we don't have this list of rules. You know, the thing is, even if you looked in the Bible for a list of all the rules on parenting, they're not all there. Some of the things we know by principle, especially out of the new commandment, that we're to love one another as Jesus has loved us. So from the base of the gospel of the kingdom, we want to look at the principles and ideas of things that will help us in our parenting. So, to go through the five kind of elements that we look at in each one of these sermons, we want to look at relationship. What do we see in the parenting and in children in the ideas of relationship? I want to focus on that this morning. I want to look at value system, because that's what it's all about, our value system, how it compares to the world. God's value system is sacrificial love for the benefit of others. The value system of the world is to exploit other people, to use them for your own benefit. And that's the real measure of spiritual growth and sanctification, how much you have God's value system. And then the other thing that is important in determining how we're supposed to live is looking at the three areas of temptation that Jesus faced, how we deal with temptation, our ability to identify it. It's better to be good than to have your bodily appetites met. It's better to be good than to have people like you, and it's better to be good than to have your own kingdom, power, wealth, control over others. Being good is important. Let me throw out a few Bible verses as we begin this topic this morning. A very important one. Ephesians 6, 1-4. Children, obey your parents. Yeah, parents love that verse. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. In other words, you won't die young at your parents' hand. of course, I added that. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. This is the side the kids love. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, again, back to the parents' favorite part, and instruction of the Lord. Let's go back and forth in that whole thing. 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5. Speaking in the qualifications of an elder, and really what every parent should aspire to, but the man in the church, he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for the church of God? And this talks about the nature of what the church is. It's a family. It's how we deal with one another. We deal with each other in relationships. This isn't a business. Now, there's other Bible verses that speak about raising kids. A lot of them are in the book of Proverbs, things that do with discipline, raising your kids. Our culture has ideas of parenting. Really, one of the foundational things you have to understand in parenting is when you look at the Bible and all the things in God's value system and how we are to live our lives in sacrificial love for each other, those things there that are how the parent is supposed to live are the same as for how the child's supposed to live. That's the thing. There's no difference. There's no different standard where parents live one way and children live another. We're all to live by God's value system, loving one another in that same way. Now, in the Old Testament, you know, there were differences for what we believe and how we live in the Old Testament law. We have the benefit of a clearer understanding of God's value system. When Jesus dies on the cross, that love, sacrificial love for one another, that's our model of love in our homes, how we're to love one another in our homes. So what applies to the parents in terms of Christian living and morality applies equally to the kids. So what obligations you feel for yourself as a parent or how you're supposed to follow Christ, that is what you should be training your kids to. You can't say, oh, well, I live this way, but I'm going to cut my kids some slack. Don't cut your kids some slack. They don't need it. You don't need it either. But you need to know that what God expects what you need to know what he expects of you. You need to know that yourself. How can you pass on to your kids what you don't know yourself? If you don't know how God wants you to live, or if you're failing at it, you're not going to be able to pass it on. But we also don't want to pass along to our kids erroneous views of what it means to follow God, erroneous views of what the faith is. That's why we need to have a clear understanding of what the gospel is. That's, really what the whole book is about. I mean, my book is dedicated to my kids. It's for them I wrote the book. If anybody else can benefit from it, great. But I want my kids and I to be on the same page theologically and the same page relationally, that we are all pulling together to the same goal and the same direction. I want that in your life too. See, if you have wrong ideas about God and how you're supposed to live, if you have legalism in your life or licentiousness, you will pass those wrong ideas of the faith on to your children as well. So you want to pass on to them God's value system. You don't want some wrong thing. So let's talk to kids first. All right? It's always more fun that way. I'll try to make as much eye contact as possible with you and make you feel uncomfortable. Are you ready? Obeying your parents, or how to be a good child. How many of the kids this morning, you better listen to this question, it's very important, and respond, please. How many of you would like to be good children? Fail. All right, come on, I expect all your hands to be up. All of them. All right, so obedience to your parents. Now, okay, relax. Obedience to your parents is more than just an external thing. It's not just doing it because you have to. Because I tell you, if your parents have a big enough stick, you will feel like you have to. And that's just terrible if that's why you obey your parents. So how many, now let me ask the question another way, and I'd really like you to be honest, answer this honestly. I know sometimes it's hard to answer a question like this honestly in church, kids. This is serious. But only put your hands up if you're honest. How many people, want to please God with their lives? You kids. We won't ask the adults yet. But okay, you can put your hands down. It's good to see a few hands not go up. I mean, it's bad to see that, but at least you were honest. So how do you answer? How do you respond to that? Your faith in God is reflected in your attitudes and actions toward your parents. That is, how you treat your parents shows how you put your faith in God. How you respond to your parents, how you speak to them, how you love them, how you obey them, is a reflection of your relationship with God. You can't have two things. You can't say, things are good between me and God, but not between me and my parents. Now, your parents aren't perfect. Believe me, I know that. Don't think that they have completely fooled me into thinking they're perfect. I know they're not. But you're not perfect either. And I'm more aware of that, probably, than what your parents can get past me. But let me tell you another thing. There's likely no one in your life who loves you more than they do. There's probably, and that's a very low probability, I'm pretty sure that there's no one in your life that loves you more than your parents do. And I only speak out of the way I feel about my own kids. Parents, you know what it's like to love your kids. You love them. And then you think about when you were a kid, you think, oh, is that how my parents felt about me? I hope you look back and can see that in your relationships. There might never be, kids, there might never be anyone who loves you as much as your parents do in your life. And it's an abstract concept. It's hard for kids to understand that. Well, let me try to help you understand. You know how to do math, basic mathematics, right? All right, that's good. At least you're progressing academically. Think about how much you really think your parents love you. Think about that. And then, multiply it by 1,000. 1,000, and that might get you somewhere close to how much they love you. If you don't think your parents love you that much, you're the one who's probably getting it wrong. They love you. So how do you be a good child? Well, you seek to adopt the value system of your parents, and certainly to the degree to which it's God's value system. If you look at your parents and go, well, that's not God's value system, don't copy that part. It's okay. You don't have to copy that part. But all the good things you see in them, the things that are like Christ, things that are godly, you should try to understand what they're saying to you. They want you to adopt God's value system. See, if you don't agree with your parents 100%, that's okay. But a lot of that percent that you disagree with them, you're probably the one who's wrong. Don't assume that you know better than your parents. Now, there may be a few things where you've listened to your pastor and now you're a little bit farther ahead of your parents. But then there's going to be other things where you don't know better. You don't know better. So, you know, if you're looking at your parents and you're thinking, I need to rebel against that flaw in them, you need more counsel than just yourself to make sure that you're doing what's right. Don't be wise in your own eyes. It's a prevalent problem among youth. You hear the joke when you're kids about, you know, how when you're 18, you thought you knew it all and you thought your parents didn't. And then as you get older, you realize your parents were a lot smarter than you thought. It's true. All right. You're not yet 18, but you're still getting smarter. Okay. So when I say children, I mean, it would be like saying adolescents, and adolescents can last till like you're 25. So don't say, "Oh, I turned 18. It's all an improvement from here." You still could be suffering from delusions for many more years. But even with younger kids, you know, there's that equation of moral ability and decision making with the ability to pick my shirt color. Oh, I like this color better. Therefore, I can make moral decisions. You know, there's the huge disconnect. Little kids especially make that disconnect. They think that they get something right in a practical way that suddenly morally they're now Solomon. And maybe they are morally practically, but not morally in a wisdom sense. So you need to be thinking about the moral issues and how, what they reveal in the heart. Kids, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. The issue is who defines your value system. Who defines your value system? It's very easy to be exploited by people in this world. It's really easy to exploit people in this world. Don't be either one of them. When people define your value system for you and it's not coming from God's value system, often it's easy to be exploited by them. Value systems that are in opposition to God are dangerous to hold. God's value system doesn't exploit you. The people that hold it will not exploit you. They will not use you. They will not mistreat you. And those are the kind of people you can deeply trust. As your parents love you and hold God's value system, you can trust them. They are not going to make all decisions perfectly in this life. But you can trust that they care for you and will not attempt to hurt you. The other thing kids need to be aware of is know which relationships will be most valuable to you. Know which relationships will be the most valuable to you. You know, the friends that you have now may be gone from your lives in a few years. They're really not as important as you think they are. They are important to you, and parents recognize that. You guys are saying, oh, you'll be lifelong friends forever. Great. May it be so. May it be so. If I think back to when I was your age, you know how many friends I have that were friends? I don't have any. So I'm like a bigger failure than you. No, I don't have any. All right? You know, that's the way it happens. You move on. You move to a new place. You move to Indiana. And suddenly, you have to get new friends. You're not moving. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. Then you go off to college and all those great friendships you thought were important in high school, you have different people, different peer group, different friends. And then after you get done with college, you move somewhere else, and all those things start to diminish over time, too. Your friends come and go. There will be ones that are important in lifelong. But your family is going to be with you your whole life. If you have a good relationship there, that's something that will sustain you and carry you through your whole life. So you want to make those relationships strong as you can. Especially as you agree on what's important and how to live the Christian life. Kids, if you understand the gospel, and you should by now, you're probably even better than your parents, at least academically. All right? Because your brains are, they have more room to absorb new information. Let me put it that way. That's not the way I say it to my children. I tell them their heads are more empty than mine. That's why they got the ability to retain that information. Even actually this last week, Tamara was talking about, it's getting harder to remember stuff. Your brain's filling up. Wait till you get to be my age. Sheesh. But listen, if you as children can agree with your parents on God's value system and on the gospel, there's going to be a whole bunch of other stuff in your life you're going to disagree on. And it's not going to be that big of an issue. You get this really important part, the part that's all about relationships, right? It will carry you through. I've sought to teach you a gospel that will give you strong relationships. It'll keep you from disagreements over the non-essential things. So when you come home with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and they're Baptist or Charismatics or whatever they are, and they say they've got the right answer, and your parents say, no, this is the gospel as our pastors taught us to, and of course it was right, you guys will be able to have a good relationship over that. And you'll say, yep, that's right. Those things are tradition and interpretation. They're important, but they're not important as getting the gospel right and having good relationships in our family. I mean, it's sad when traditions and interpretations bring division in family. Christianity should never be divisive within the body of Christ. But you as children, you must do your part in following Christ. If you get it wrong, and your parents are following Christ, guess whose value system is going to be wrong and destroying the relationship? It will be yours. Now, you ready for me to talk to parents? I thought so. By now it's their turn. All right, parents, grandparents, parents, but mostly parents, what's the goal in parenting? You see, like in anything, if you don't know where you're headed, you're going to end up in the wrong place. The goal of parenting. See, we talk about what's the goal of Christian counseling. If you've got something wrong in your life and you need to go in for counseling and get that fixed, or Christian discipleship is another way of saying. See, if you go to somebody who doesn't know what you're supposed to look like at the end of the process, how are you going to know when you're there? See, the goal of all Christian counseling should be to make you like Christ. If that's not the goal of your counseling sessions, you're going to the wrong person. And the same thing about parenting. What's the goal of parenting? The goal of parenting, generically speaking, is to instill your value system into your kids. This is what every parent does. It doesn't matter what their religion or culture or background. It's to instill your value system into your children. Now, as Christian parents, what value system are we trying to have our children adopt? Well, certainly it's God's value system. You should be moving in that direction yourself so that you can help your kids get that. If you don't know God's value system, or if you don't live God's value system, it's going to be really hard to pass that on to your kids. God's value system. The failure you will pass on. I guarantee that. They will model, you know, as much as you kids say, that's something I'm never going to do when I grow up, you will. You will find that one day you'll do some of the same things your parents fail at. But the more you seek God's value system, the more you will overcome even the things that your parents fail at. You know, let's cut them some slack. Cut your parents some slack. You know, they're only getting this good teaching now in their life, right? But you're getting it as a kid. Therefore, you're going to be more responsible. You're going to be better than they are. And if you're not, I will look you up. All right, back to parents. Relationship. That's one of the goals of parenting. One is to instill your value system in your kids. The other is to have a relationship with your kids. Do you want to have a relationship with your kids? Or you say, man, when they're 18, they're out of here. I'm moving, changing my name. You know, if that's your idea of parenting, you failed already. Relationship is important. And it doesn't happen to the same degree in the whole course of a child's life. When the child's a year old, you don't have the same relationship as when they're 20 or 15 or even 5. It's a different relationship. We have a relationship the whole time those kids are growing up, but not the same kind of relationship. Because relationship is based on common value system. And I tell you, when your kid's one, that child does not share your value system quite as much as you think he does. That's why you project it on there. That's why that kid's so cute and good and knows everything and is wonderful. Because as of yet, you don't really know that child. You think you do. No, but as you train that child in God's value system, then it will share your value system and the relationship will grow. So that when they're adults, if they have grown in your value system, you'll have great relationships with them. The other thing, now to come back to when we're talking about the five things that are important, the other thing that you as parents need to be doing is training your kids to handle temptation. I mean, you think about what's really important in life. It's having a good value system, which will lead to good relationships, and then it's knowing how to deal with the problems and temptations of life. You get that stuff right, those five things right, man, hey, life's easy. There will be struggles, everything's difficult, but the important stuff will all work together. So you need to train your children to deal with temptation. If any, this is a homework assignment. When you get home, ask your kids to tell you the three areas of Jesus' temptation. They probably know them better than you do by now. If they don't, I don't know what to do for them, other than to say their parents need to instruct them in the areas of temptation. So if you still don't know those, write those down, parents, because you will need those. What are the three areas of temptation? How to deal with bodily appetites. I mean, it's a broad range of things in life. The second area is, how do you deal with public opinion? And the third is, how do you deal with your personal kingdom, power, control? You know, what doesn't fit into those categories in life? The problems, the issues you're going to face with temptation. They all fall into those categories. And children need to understand the issues that they face in terms of those three temptations so that they can learn to think it's better to be good than to listen to what the world says about these three things. You want to be good. You get these three temptations right in your life and you'll be good. But you need to guide them. Let them know what that temptation looks like. Let them know that you too have faced and you too do face these temptations and how to deal with the temptations. How you live God's value system in spite of these temptations. Now, the nature of temptation falls into those three categories. The specifics, culture and time and place, this is stuff that's different. So some people say, well, it's harder to be a kid now than it was. Hogwash! You saying it was easier to be Christ-like in the 20th century or the first century? It's never changed. If you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you can face these temptations and you can overcome them as well as any other Christian who's ever lived. But you can certainly give into your culture and fail in them as badly as anybody's failed since the beginning of time. So parents need to be wise to see the temptations that their kids are facing. You need to look into their lives and be aware of the ones they're facing. They might come in a different package than you faced. But they're going to be about bodily appetites, public opinions, and power, wealth, and control. You need to be involved in their lives to see this. You need to have that relationship with them to see this. You also have to seek to understand what's happening in your kid's life. Children, on the other hand, you need to be open and honest with your parents. Knowing that they love you, knowing that they can guide you in these things, you need to be open and honest with the issues you're facing. It's not easy to do that. We all understand. And if you can't do it with them, you can always come to your pastor with your parents and say, my parents just don't get it. And I'll hear both sides of the story and we'll find out for sure what's going on. Be honest so that you can deal with the issues in your life. Your ability to be honest with your parents flows out of a relationship, and that relationship comes out of your value system that you share. That's why it's important as parents to not condemn your kids, but to be able to help them, to let them see that you have God's value system, sacrificial love. You would sacrifice for your kids. You love them deeply. You want to help them. So, parents, help your kids become successful in overcoming temptation. Some of that comes through external means. That means you help your kids not face the temptation to begin with, till they're strong enough to face it on their own. Some of it's accountability, asking your kids how they're dealing with the issues in life. Next, parents, you need to train your children to be Christ-like rather than to be selfish. This is the other thing. And we talked about the things you want to train them in value system and relationship and temptation, but there's other parts of life where that value system comes out. What does it mean that they have God's value system, be Christ-like, to be a sacrificer, to be a servant rather than exploit other people? Where does this come from? Well, that comes through you training the heart of the child. Remember, you know, the value system is at the bottom. These are the things that are important to you and you value. Out of that flow your emotions and your actions. You want to be teaching your kids everything in terms of value system. So you want to use language that kids understand. Kids understand the language of value system, which is a very nice thing and why you can use that. But you can show them that the difference in people always flows to that value. So when you're pointing out to your kids people who are bad examples, and yes, that's an okay thing to do, parents, not in a gossiping way, but in an instructive way. When you point out how people live and it's wrong, point out why, how it's wrong in the value system. Show them the difference between sacrificial love and exploiting. Show them that. Show them on every level that they can see and understand. And then show them the relational consequences of those choices. Because you get the value system wrong, it's always destructive in relationship. That's what it means to prepare someone for life. It's not just education and job training. It's better to be good than to get a good job, and it's better to be good than to graduate top of your class. Because trust me, it doesn't mean anything to me. Goodness is the thing that counts. Success of a person is measured by how much like Christ they are. That's the only measure of success in this life for a Christian. Everything else is worthless. It doesn't impress me. Not power, not wealth, not earthly kingdom or fame. Success for a child. Are you ready for this one? Success is more often about how well you folded the laundry and did the dishes than the mark you got on your paper at school. You know why? Because you might find school easy or hard. That doesn't matter. But living sacrificially and serving one another in your family, that's a lifelong skill that you will need. And if you get that skill wrong, don't expect to have good relationships the rest of your life. Now, when I was a kid, did I like doing laundry? No! What do you think, I'm crazy? You know, it wasn't fun. Doing laundry's not fun when you're a kid, and for most adults, it's not fun either. Fill in the dishwasher. Is that fun? At least you got a dishwasher, all right? Is it fun? Not necessarily. Some people find it fun. Some people find it relaxing. They're in the minority. But the attitude that you go to doing those things shows who you really are. A child can measure his or her heart by their attitudes to household chores. When you go to do them, and your response to your parents asking you to do them, note that I didn't say the parents were doing them all, is your response Christ-like? Because if it's not, the problem is in your heart. It's your value system. See, parents, that's the way you need to train your kids. That's what you need to get them to see. The things that bring the most meaning to life are the things that fulfill your purpose. And what is your purpose? You were created for relationship. You were created for relationship. And so your greatest joys are going to be when you succeed in it. And if you fail at relationship, you're going to be miserable no matter how successful you are in every other area of your life. You can have the fame and you can have the wealth, but if you fail in your relationships, you will be miserable. One last point for parents. Parents must agree. They must agree on the goals of parenting. You know, what we just talked about. What do you want your kids to be like? See, if two parents, they're trying to raise their kids, but one has the idea of what the kids should become and one has another, that's very frustrating for both parents. The answer to what you want your kids to be like reveals your own value system. If your answer merely reflects the ideas of the world, That is to say, the person out there who doesn't believe in God and what they want for their kid is just the same as what you want for your kid, you're heading down the wrong path. And that's the only kind of child you will produce. But if you want your child to know God, to be good like God, then you must train your child to know God's value system. You must get that deep into their heart so that everything in their life flows out of that. It's not a list of rules, but it's a heart that can see the beauty of God's value system, acknowledge that beauty, and then seeks to emulate it. Now, so you have to agree on the goal, but you also have to agree on the method. See, even Christian parents may agree on the goal, this is what we want to produce, but they don't agree on how to get there. If you don't agree on how to get there, you will fail. Or you'll at least be very frustrated in the process. So there's lots of different ideas on how to parent. And I'm very thankful that Melissa and I were exposed to good teaching on parenting before we even had kids. And we came to that agreement on what we wanted our goals to be and how we wanted to get there. You know, the amount of conflict that releases out of your marriage is enormous. Because when one parent says, I want to do it this way, or another parent says, this is something that needs to be done, there's no conflict on most things. There's always going to be a little conflict. Because there's always going to be a little variation in values. But on the big issues of how you do things, when the parents agree, this is how it's supposed to be done, and this is, I don't look at that situation and that decision that Melissa made, and she doesn't look at mine, on the major big issues of life and say, boy, you're completely off track here. We agree. We support each other. So it refined our thinking on where we wanted to go, but it gave us agreement on how we should get there. If you don't agree on method, it's an issue of value system, and you're going to have conflict. The greater the disagreement on method, the greater your conflict. And that will be damaging to your marriage relationship. And that, in turn, will bring confusion to your kids. I don't want to see you get there. Wow. That was a great discussion, wasn't it? It's fun to go through and remind myself of all these things. See, as parents, it's hard to remember them all. We do stuff, we get into habits and routines. Parenting's really hard work, kids. And you know why it's hard work? Well, because you're involved, that's part of it. But the other part of it is because we're involved. So you're dealing with imperfect people raising imperfect people, and it's hard work. But I want you, as parents, to think this week, how do you want to focus your parenting energy? You know, will you be focusing it in a direction that produces godliness in your kids? That's what you need to do. If you're not focusing your energy in a way that produces godliness in your kids, you're failing. And kids, you need to be seeking to adopt God's value system. You know, I want you to understand, and this is what, I guess I'm not done yet, so this is the part I get to stand up and march around. It's like, no notes, it's fun. All right. You know why, kids, I spend so much time saying that spiritual maturity is you looking like Christ, that it's having God's value system? That's the only measure of your spirituality. It's very important to measure your spiritual that way. It's not based on how you feel. It's not based on if you feel God forgives you one day or another. It's not based on how many of the spiritual disciplines you do, like reading your Bible or fasting or praying. Those are not the measure. Because you'll go through life and you'll have these things, and sometimes you'll feel good about those and sometimes you'll feel bad about those. And it has nothing to do with whether or not you know God. Knowing God is how much you like Him. You will never be perfect in this life. You'll never be like Him in this life. Get over that. All right? The goal of living life and becoming a Christ is becoming more like Him in relationship and in value system. If you're progressing in sacrificial love, which you can start doing in your households or your siblings and your parents, then you know God. Because knowing God is about knowing Jesus on the cross. If you can do that right, you have no idea how much garbage your life never needs to see. You will be blessed if you base your life on Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are the Father in heaven. You know parenting very well. And You know that at its core, it's about getting your kids to adopt Your value system. Help us to be wise parents, doing our best to impress Your value system onto our kids. Help us to be good children, adopting your value system. That we might glorify you and be blessed in this life, in our relationships, both in the church and outside of the church, in our families especially. That we will have peace and joy in them. That we will be able to deal with the conflict in them, be free to honor you and worship you with our whole lives. Amen.